Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our text this evening is the last section of Psalm 2, verses 10 through 12. Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. In this final section of Psalm 2, the narrator speaks again. In these verses, the Holy Spirit of God gives five commands. He warns us and entreats us to bow before the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and worship Him. He exhorts us to serve Christ completely. The work of the Holy Spirit of God is to draw us to Jesus Christ. This text of God's holy word thunders with all the bolts of God. Verse 12 says, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But it does not thunder in the end. There comes a soft, sweet, reviving shower after the storm. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. These verses are specifically addressed to kings and to judges of the earth. Verse 10 says, now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. The Holy Spirit of God especially warns civil rulers. He warns those civil rulers of the nations described in verse 2 of this psalm, who set themselves against the Lord Jesus Christ. The civil rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces. Let us cast away their cords from us. Civil rulers have great power and they have great wealth. If they do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, they think that they are God. They are a law to themselves. They think that they can do whatever they want, and they foolishly oppose the Lord and His Christ. They reject the yoke of the Lord Jesus, and they set themselves to do evil. They will not live under the holy law of God. They think that they can make whatever laws that please them. Many of our civil rulers today have this problem. They have no regard for God's holy word, and they think that they can make whatever laws seem good in their eyes. They call themselves legislators, which means those who make law. The Bible says there's only one lawgiver, and that is God. But our text is not just for civil rulers. It is also God's word to every person. It is God's word to every one of us here tonight. It is God's word to your neighbor. It is God's word to every man, woman, and child on the earth. There are five commands in these three verses. The gentle, loving, tender voice of God calls on rebellious human beings to be wise, to be instructed, to serve the Lord with fear, to rejoice with trembling, and to kiss the Son, lest he be angry. To be wise means to listen to the Lord. Listen to the word of God. Recognize the futility of fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize the sovereign rule of the Lord and of Christ, which no man, no person can successfully resist. Believe in Christ. Repent of your sins. Submit yourself to Jesus Christ in grateful and loving obedience. Be instructed means learn these things. Listen. Pay attention. Take notice. Change your thinking and your ways. Do not continue in your folly. Serve the Lord with fear. Do His holy will. Keep yourself from sin. fear the Lord as the great God who is holy and perfect, and who will judge you in righteousness when Jesus Christ comes the second time. Do not serve yourself. Do not serve the world or all that is in it. Do not do what you want, but what God wants. Recognize that it is only the mercy of the Lord that you are not consumed. Do not labor to build the city of man, but to build the city of God. Work to build the kingdom of Christ and the church of Christ rather than your own kingdom and your own estate. Rejoice with trembling. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Worship the Lord. Sing praises to Him every day. Rejoice in God's works. Rejoice in God's providence. Rejoice in Christ's perfect government. Rejoice in the grace and love and mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Rejoice in God's salvation. And all of these commands culminate in that great command. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. This is a kiss, first of all, of reconciliation. The kiss represents enmity that God has removed. The strife has ended. The battle is over, and God has established peace. When Jacob and Esau met, their hearts had long been estranged. Fear overwhelmed Jacob. Revenge had been burning in the heart of Esau, but when they met, they were at peace. They fell upon each other's neck, and they kissed. It was the kiss of reconciliation. The very first work of God's grace in the heart is for the Lord Jesus Christ to give the sinner the kiss of His love and His reconciliation, reconciling him to God. The father kissed the prodigal son when he returned. Before the feast had been prepared, before the music and the rejoicing began, the father fell upon his son's neck and kissed him. God commands us to return that kiss. Jesus Christ gives the reconciling kiss on God's behalf, and it is ours to kiss the lip of Jesus and to prove by that deed that we are reconciled to God through the death of His Son. By nature, man is an enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man hates God's Sabbaths. Man neglects God's word. Man abhors God's commandments. Man casts God's laws behind his back. As much as lies in sinful, fallen man, he opposes the kingdom of God. He loves the wages of sin and the ways of iniquity better than the ways of Christ. Is the Spirit of God working in your heart, convicting you of your sins? Then I beseech you to yield to His gracious work, to stop fighting against Him. Cast down the weapons of your anger and rebellion against the Lord. Take the pride away from your heart. Cast away your sword. Do not be the enemy of Jesus Christ any longer, for Christ calls you to serve Him. Christ calls you with arms that are outstretched, ready to receive you, with eyes full of tears, weeping over your stubbornness, with bowels moved with compassion for you. He speaks His word of reconciliation. God in Christ, through His ambassadors, proclaims peace and reconciliation. Kiss the Son. Be reconciled. The gospel is the ministry of reconciliation. We speak as God has commanded us. We beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Is that a hard thing? That you should be friends with Him who is your best friend, Is the law of God like the command of Pharaoh to the Israelites in Egypt? When God simply bids you to be reconciled with Him through the death of His Son? God does not call you to be friends with death or friends with hell. He calls you to dissolve your union with them, that you might be united with Him. He calls you to turn away from the company of the evil and the wicked, that you might be at peace with God, who is love and mercy, infinite and eternal. Why will you resist Him who loves you in Christ? Why will you scorn Him who has such mercy upon sinners? Why will you trample upon the blood that bought you and reject the cross of Christ, which is your only hope of salvation? Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Bow your knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. The Spirit of God must work in a man's heart before he will be willing to kiss the Son. And therefore, it is my desire that by the words of this psalm, and by the words that are spoken even here tonight, God might lead you to give Jesus Christ that kiss of reconciliation, that you might be His servant. This kiss in Psalm 2, verse 12, is also the kiss of allegiance and of homage. Jesus Christ requires of every person who would be saved that he yield to His government and to His holy rule. There are some who are willing to be saved. They're willing to have Christ as their great high priest and the sacrifice for their sins, but they're not willing to give up their sins. They're not willing to obey the precepts of the Lord. They're not willing to walk in God's ways and to keep His commandments. But you cannot cut salvation in two. You cannot be justified without also being sanctified. If your sins are pardoned, you must also abhor them. If you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ so that the guilt of your sin has been taken away, then you must be washed in the water to take away the power of sin in your life and in your desires and in your heart. Kiss the Son. Bow your knee to Christ. Come and own Him to be your King. Yes, many other masters, many other kings, many other lords have ruled over us. We have worshipped our lusts, our sinful desires. We have worshipped our pleasures. We have worshipped our pride. We have worshipped our selfishness. But now we will submit to your yoke, which is easy and light. We will be your subjects. We must give to the Lord Jesus Christ the kiss of homage and of loyalty and take Him to be our King. Is that too hard? Is that too difficult? Is it too hard to cry out, Lord, save me? And may Jesus Christ rule in all of my life. May He reign in my heart as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is it a hard thing to bow before the scepter of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there any cruelty in that requirement, in that command? That we should submit ourselves to His holy law, to His righteous law, to His justice, to His love, to His mercy, to His truth? All of God's ways are pleasant and peaceful. His commandments are not grievous. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Turn your backs on those wicked kings that rule in your life. May the grace of Almighty God enable you to flee away from those that delude you today and will destroy you in eternity. Come to the Prince of Peace, to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and be His willing subject. Kiss the Son It is the kiss of reconciliation. It is the kiss of homage. It is also the kiss of worship. We must worship Christ the Son. There are those who will not worship Christ. They will not acknowledge Him to be the Son of God. But God requires that we acknowledge His Son, Jesus Christ. In the last day, our Lord Jesus Christ will say that those who were His enemies, who would not have Him to reign over them, they will be brought and slain before His holy presence. If we reject Jesus Christ, God's Son, as the one to be worshipped and glorified forever, we're like those who build our house on the sand. When the wind comes, when the rain comes, when the storm comes, it will fall and it will crash. And great will be its fall. God commands us to worship Him. That is a pleasant command. It is a joyful command. Kiss the Son in adoration, in praise, in thanksgiving, in devotion. It is the highest joy to worship Jesus. There is no greater pleasure than to worship the Son of God. That will be the very song in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. God commands you to worship His Son, Jesus Christ. Go to Him in prayer. Cast yourself before His presence and worship Him. Confess your sins to Him. Lay hold of His righteousness. Touch the hem of His garment. Adore Him by faith. Trust in Him. Adore Him by your service, by your life. Adore Him with the words of your mouth. Praise Him and adore Him with your heart. Love Him and surrender to Him with all of your being. Kiss the Son also reminds us of Mary Magdalene, who came to Jesus. She had been forgiven much, and she loved much. And so she desired the company of the Lord Jesus. She came to the house of the Pharisee where Jesus was eating, but she was afraid to enter that house because she was such a great sinner. And she knew that the Pharisees would repulse her. They would reject her. They would tell her to go away. What would a harlot do in the house of a holy Pharisee? And yet she came there to that house, and she found Jesus. She could not dare to look up at His head, but she stood there at His feet, weeping. And as she wept, the tears flowed so abundantly that she washed His feet with her tears. And then she took her hair and began to wipe His feet with her hair, and she kissed His feet. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the mercy and forgiveness that only He can give. Love Him with all of your heart. Show Him that love. Show Him that affection. Show Him that desire to be in His presence, to receive His favor. As the Song of Solomon says, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for your love is better than wine. May our hearts never grow cold through negligence. May our souls always be filled with that deep and sincere love for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we kiss the Son. It is a kiss of reconciliation, a kiss of homage, a kiss of worship, and a kiss of loving gratitude and thanks. There are some who do not want to kiss the Lord. There are some who do not want to be reconciled to God. And to those he says, depart from me, I never knew you. The Lord Jesus Christ commands us to kiss the Son of God, lest he be angry and we perish in the way. Can Jesus Christ be angry? Can the Lamb of God be angry? Did not Jesus Christ weep over sinners? Did not Jesus Christ lay down his very life to pay for the sins of his people? Can he be angry with sinners? Yes, he can. And when he is angry, no one has anger like he has. We read this evening from Revelation chapter 6, where we read about those who see and experience the terrible anger of the Lamb of God call upon the rocks and the mountains to hide them and to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Can you picture the face of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the eyes that wept over sinners, the hands that bled to atone for sin, the lips that spoke words of grace, words of mercy and salvation, words of pity? One day those eyes will have no tears in them. Those eyes will flash with lightning. Those hands will know no mercy, but shall grasp a rod of iron and break the wicked into pieces like dashing a clay pot into a thousand pieces. And those feet will know no errands of love, but shall tread upon the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ and crush them like grapes are crushed in the winepress. And the blood shall stain his garments. And as he comes from destroying his enemies, they shall say, who is this that comes, not from Calvary, not from Gethsemane, who is this that comes from Edom, the land of his enemies, with dyed garments from Bozrah? Who is he that is glorious in his garments, traveling in the greatness of his strength? And the answer will be a most terrible answer. This is the one who has trodden down his enemies and crushed them. Jesus Christ speaks in righteousness. He is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. But when he destroys his enemies, he is mighty to devour and to rend his enemies into pieces. There is nothing more fearful than the thought that Jesus Christ will be angry. That if we live our lives and if we die without repentance and without faith, rejecting his mercy, despising his sacrifice, we have need to tremble at this sentence, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. If Jesus Christ is angry, it's all over with us. All of our hopes are gone. Think of some poor girl who has stepped aside into a life of sin, who does everything wrong. But when she comes back to her father says, shall I forget the child that I have begotten? Yes, she's a great sinner. Yes, she's wicked, but she is still my child. And I will not reject her. And he receives her again into his house in love and in mercy. But what if she lives that life of sin? And one day in her desperate despair, someone says to her, why not seek a friend? Why not seek someone to deliver you, to help you out of this awful mess in which you find yourself? And she says, there is no one. Don't you have a father? Isn't there a father who will love you and care for you and help you out of your terrible predicament? And she says, yes, but he's angry and he will do nothing for me. Her last door of hope is shut. Her hope is gone forever. She ends her life because her only helper is angry. Her only hope is gone. And all she has left is utter despair. Or think of that dove that Noah let out of the ark after the flood, flying here and there across the face of the earth, but not finding any place to rest. And then that dove thinks of the ark and flies back to the ark there to find a shelter. But instead, Noah is there with his crossbow to shoot that dove. Then where is the hope? The dove's only hope is a gate of death. And so the dove will die with all the rest of those that perished in the flood. Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. He calls sinners to repent. He calls sinners to be delivered from death. But when Jesus Christ is angry, where can sinners hide? When Jesus Christ is angry and he pulls back his bow, where will you find shelter? What will be your defense? What will be your refuge? Kiss the Son? Bow before him today while it is still the day of God's mercy and believe in him. Lest he be angry with you and shut you up in the darkness and blackness and despair of death. And then none can give you any hope or any joy when Jesus is angry. And the effect of the anger of Jesus Christ is that you will perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Someone can light just a little fire, just a little spark, and get the whole forest burning. Just a little kindling of fire can bring terrible and great destruction. When the wrath of God is kindled just a little bit, it is enough to utterly destroy the wicked so that they perish forever from the way. That's a fearful thought if we have eyes to see it. Black darkness forever and ever. What would become of the sinner when the breath of the Lord is like a stream of brimstone and fire that burns and burns and burns even to the lowest parts of hell and is never extinguished? His wrath will be kindled in just a little while. The day of mercy will soon be past. And then will come the hour of unending despair. That should make every one of us think about our souls. The fact that God can take our life in but a moment, perhaps even this very night. And there will be no ransom that can deliver us. God can take us away so quickly. And yet there are people who will go to the place where their friend died, or who will go to the place where their friend is buried, and walk away just as careless as they were before. We hear of people who die suddenly, and we always think that it will not happen to us, but it might. We cannot think that the wrath of God will be kindled never. God's wrath might be kindled shortly. He might take us away quickly. We might die suddenly and meet our Maker. Do not be deluded, brothers and sisters. Kiss the Son now, lest he be angry in a little while, and you perish from the way. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. How terrible is the doom of the wicked! What shall the eternal wrath of God be like? the wrath of God will dry up the very marrow of your body and soul, and yet you will not be destroyed. The wrath of God is described like a pit that has no bottom. Like the hopeless falling without ever coming to an end. It is like a land where souls linger in eternal death and yet they never die. They are crushed but never annihilated. Broken but not destroyed. Forever and ever and ever. Do not continue to refuse these commands that God gives us in our text tonight, or your body may be tormented forever, and your soul may be destroyed forever in that lake of fire, in which the torrents of the almighty wrath and judgment of God roll without ceasing, with fiery streams in hell. The Lord is so gracious, so merciful to provide a way of escape from that terrible place of eternal destruction. The Lord says, "Why will you die, O house of Israel? Will you make your beds in hell? Will you wrap yourselves with the fire of God's judgment forever? Will you have the joy of this life of sin and then reap the harvest of eternal destruction in the world to come? I beseech you by the living God, stop, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Can you war against God with all of his mighty power? Can you resist the Lord? Can you despise his Son, Jesus Christ? Can you ignore the gospel, the offer of mercy and grace? And dash yourselves upon his spear and rush upon his sword to eternal destruction? Turn to the Lord. Consider your ways. Bow before him. Kiss the Son. He earnestly calls you to repent and believe." And then this psalm ends with those glorious words, "Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." They are truly blessed. Those who trust in the Son of God are really blessed. It's not an imagination. It's not fiction. It is a real blessing. It is a blessing that will stand the test of time, the test of life, the trial of death. It is a blessedness into which we cannot plunge ourselves too deeply, for it is real and it is true and it is lasting. It is not only a real blessing, but it is a blessing that comforts us. It is a blessing that soothes our conscience. It is a blessing that assures us. It is a blessing that fills us with joy. It is a blessing that sanctifies all of our trials to us. We will know that blessing of the Lord. We will sing about it. We will rejoice in it. We will rejoice that the blessing of God comes to us not only in word, but in truth and in deed. And it is a blessing that only increases. It is a blessing that grows. The wicked go downhill. They go from hope to despair. But the people of God will grow in their joy. They will grow in their love of Christ. They will grow in their anticipation of the life that is to come. They will grow in their knowledge. They will grow in their love. They will be blessed in the hour of death. And their blessedness will increase into eternal blessedness. The perfection of the saints at the right hand of God, as we saw described for us also in the book of Revelation. Kiss the Son. trust in Jesus Christ. He is your only hope. You may do 100 things that are good, but there's nothing that you can do that will be better than kissing the Son. You remember in the Scriptures there was a woman with an infirmity who spent all of her money on physicians and still was not healed. She got worse, in fact. There's no hope except in Jesus Christ. All the mercy of God is concentrated in the cross of Jesus Christ. There's no blessing eternally anywhere else but in Christ. Turn to Him, for only in Him will you be blessed. That is the only sure way to be delivered from the wrath and anger of God. No one has perished trusting in Jesus Christ. Cast yourself upon the Lord and trust in Him, and He shall not disappoint. If God convinces you of your sin, if God brings you to know your need of His salvation, come to Christ. Trust in Him and find the blessing of those who lean upon His mercy. The door of the mercy of God is wide open to sinners. Come through the gates of righteousness. Come drink of that cup of the love and salvation of God. The cup of faith. The water of life flows freely, the Bible says. Come and drink of it, without money and without price. No thieves can drink of that fountain. No murderers. None who love sin and evil. But all who died to sin, that they might live unto righteousness, have drunk of that great fountain of living water. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that hears say, Come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. And take the water of life freely. Amen. Father in heaven, you have spoken so clearly and so pointedly in your word. You have told us of the futility of fighting against you, of plotting against the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, of rising up against your only Son, whom you have set as king upon your holy hill of Zion. And you have told us, Father, that when your anger is kindled, we will perish. And so you call us, yes, you command us, to come to Christ, to kiss your Son, that we might be delivered from your wrath. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will work in our hearts so that we may not just hear these words, but that we may be moved by your Spirit to do what you command, and that we may be given the ability and enabled by your Spirit trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might drink of the water of life freely, that we might know the blessedness of those who trust in Him. Work in our hearts that faith and that repentance, that we may go from strength unto strength by your grace, until we come into your glorious presence in holiness and righteousness, to live with you forever and ever. And Father, we pray that those who have not drunk of that living water may find no rest and no peace until they rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen.